Good morning.
Good morning.
What a blessing it is to be here to worship together again on this beautiful summer Sunday morning. It's getting a little hot, but that's okay. We'll take it. And we had some good rain too. Thanks be to God for that. And thanks, Kenny, for joining us again. What a beautiful music that we have today. We have two guests, one preacher guest and another pianist guest. So we have a blessing today together with them. You probably have noticed that our steps have been painted in the front, and Pastor Nelson did a good job yesterday, and he's going to paint the gutters and the rails and the shades and all that, eventually taking a little bit at a time. It's another blessing that we have, that people take care of these things. And since we are broadcasting and streaming our service every Sunday, you will get comments that you probably don't get otherwise. So some of the comments were about our steps, that, you know, can you keep your steps a little bit cleaner, and our gate, the chain gate. So we are getting a new gate also, because people are noticing it. That's a good thing. And I appreciate the comments people leave on YouTube and there, which is a good thing that we can take care of these things. These are positive comments. So that is really good. And thanks. And people are watching our apparently listening to our sermons, and what a blessing it is to have you, Pastor Tim, about the sermons that we are getting. So thanks be to God for the many ways God is working in us. Even though we are small, we are not that small in front of God. God has plans for us. So let us also pray that as Amy is looking for a permanent future pastor for us, God will guide us the right person at the right time. And another thing is, when we start the prelude, a lot of people enjoy the prelude music, and I clip it and send it separately also. We get hundreds of views every week. So when you come in here, we'll do the fellowship time and talking at the fellowship time. Leave the prelude to them and let us enjoy the prelude. And people who are online also are enjoying the prelude. So let us be quiet during that time and honor our opinions on the internet. And thanks be to God for everything that God is doing through us. Our music gets a lot of praise. You know, that's a blessing. Thanks be to God for that. The announcements are listed at the back of the bulletin. And you have Miss Lou here, so you are in good shape.
Yeah, that's right. That's
she's going to say hallelujah.
Always an encouragement.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah, we have that Afro spiritual today. We are singing, so you'll be very glad. We have a spiritual, Afro spiritual that we'll be singing today. The announcements are listed at the second page in the bulletin. Those are the regular announcements. I don't have to go through all of that. Our third Thursday luncheon will be on Thursday, the 23rd, coming Thursday at 1 o'clock. Please join for a time of lunch and fellowship. And as you all know, that Wayne probably is traveling today, so please keep him in our prayers as Kenny is filling in for Wayne. As I mentioned before, Gary Thornton will be here from AIM on September 13th. We have a couple of months. And along with that, if you haven't gotten a copy of the budget, it's on the table here. Please take it. And some of you have taken before. Let me know what you think, if there are any corrections needed or anything, because we need to have a good budget to review before we can hire somebody. So that's a guideline for them to look for a new pastor. So please take a copy if you haven't taken one, and let me know if you have any questions or opinions about that. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of the church through your giving, your gifts and presence and witness in this community that God has given us to do. And thank you for taking it seriously and working for God's kingdom in many different ways with your gifts. And we take donations on our website. Please use that facility, as many of you have been using it. And I haven't seen Yolanda in a couple of weeks. You haven't seen it. Okay. She's one of them that uses the online a lot. So please use that online portal also for donations. Those are my regular announcements. Anybody have any special announcements that I missed, or anybody to add? I don't have to tell you that the finals is today for the World Cup. But I don't know how many of you. But in my hometown country where I was born, they have a public holiday declared tomorrow, and their team is not even playing. I was amazed when I saw that. What? So they can stay home and watch and probably do celebrations. We need to declare that here too, I guess. But one day we will, hopefully. And Spain and Argentina playing, Argentina in New Jersey. So that is a good thing. Those are the announcements that I have. If nobody has any other announcements, let me bring up the opening hymn, which is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, 127 in the Blue Book. If you are able, please stand and join opening hymn. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, lead me through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty, hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain where the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me on my journey through. Strong deliverer, be my strength and faith machine. Be my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's crown. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever live to Thee. I will ever give to Thee. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift of your, as your children, that we can come and worship together in this church and also online and call you Father. Thank you for choosing us from this world to be your children so that we can call you Father. Thank you for the protection and care, and indeed for all the good gifts we receive from you every morning. Your faithfulness is new every morning and it's everlasting, Lord. We come before you today and acknowledge you as our God and our Father. We thank you for the grace and redemption you have shown to us because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this world, lived among us, suffered and died, and rose from the dead. And he will be coming again so that we can see you face to face one day in eternity. We thank you for the many, many blessings that you shower upon us, Lord, even when we have been unfaithful to you. You open the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we continue celebrating the Pentecost Sundays, help us to feel and experience the power of the Holy Spirit every day in our life, O God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, eternal and ever-living, O God. May the services of word and praise we offer here today bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's our fellowship time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other. Pro-spiritual, that we can sing together. We shall overcome someday. So let's sing together. If you can stand, please join us together. We shall overcome. Responsive reading is the Apostles' Creed today. I'll bring it up on the screen. I told you before, the Nicene Creed is a bigger version that we usually pray here, but we also like the shorter version, the Apostles' Creed, which is on page 881. We'll affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We come before God with our prayers of praises to give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also we come before God with our prayers of burdens and concerns and lift them up together, united in faith that God answers his children if we unite in faith and bring our requests to him. So the regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletins in these boxes listed there. Prayer requests, please use this as your regular prayer items during your prayer time, your daily prayer time, and remember these people and these items listed there. Let us be thankful for the many healings that God is working through in our church through many people who are asking for healing in their bodies, especially Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Jan Basil, Lou, Yolanda, Jean Barrington, Adam, Rich, and many others. Let's be thankful for the continued progress that they are making in their health and God's faithfulness, that God is healing them continuously every day and giving them the health in their bodies. Let us also remember Carol, remember Wayne also during this time, and Jerry Raines, Ronnie Ricky, Sean and Amy Conway and Pam, Jennifer Berry, and also remember the people of Venezuela. Also remember Melissa Pilcher for her needs in her life. Let's remember our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions that will bring peace and unity and prosperity to our nation and also to the world. And remember also the world leaders, when they make decisions, they will fear God and then we'll bring that, their decisions will bring peace to this world. Pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us in many different ways behind the scenes to make our life comfortable every day. Let us remember them and remember them in our prayers and their families. Pray for our church that God has given us in this community to do his work and to share his love. Help us, that God will enable us to do it faithfully with the opportunities that God has given us to do, to be a blessing. And also pray for all the churches in coming and the pastors, the leaders, and many, many others who work in various different ways to spread the love of God to this area. Let us remember them and also pray for them. And also world church at large, missionaries and many others in various parts of the world working for the kingdom. And many of them are working in difficult circumstances and oppositions that they are facing. Let us remember them in our prayers that God will empower them with the Spirit of God, that they will be faithful and productive in their work that they are doing there. Those are the requests that I have to make, regular requests. Anybody have any special calls for prayers or thanksgiving? If nobody has any special calls, let us go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in silent prayer, then we'll close in a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear. For the worldly people run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and all these things will be given to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its own trouble and needs." Gracious and merciful God, we thank you for the gift of prayer that you give us to come before you and call you Father. With our prayers of praises and thanksgiving that you give us every day with the blessings that you give us, Lord, even when we have been unfaithful to you, you have been faithful to us. Thank you for the gift of life, along with all the joys and blessings, the good health and strength you gave us in our bodies to be here today. To get up and see a new day in our life is a blessing from you, O God. And above all, you are keeping us safe in this busy and dangerous world that we live in. You keep us safe every day from harm and evil and protect us, O God. We thank you for everything that you give us, Lord, because everything that we have and we are, all are because of you only, O God. We come before you as your children and looking up to you for our needs, O God. You are the source of all good things, and you only desire good things for your children. And we come before you trusting your promise that you will answer our prayers when we unite in faith. We especially lift up the ones that we have been praying for, for their healing, especially Carol. Be with her, Lord, as we pray now, that your spirit comfort her with your presence there. And we pray for Jerry Rains and Ronnie, Sean and Amy Conway, Pam, Jennifer Berry, and many others that we have been praying for. Be with them and comfort them. Let them feel the presence and the peace in their lives as we pray today, O God. We pray for all those who care for them, the doctors, nurses, and the many caregivers that giving them care. Give them the grace to be loving and caring and compassionate, Lord God. We thank you for the healing that you have been giving to our dear ones. Especially we pray for the healing for Lou and Yolanda and Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Jan and Adam, Jean Barrington and Rich and many, many others who have been praying and receiving your healing, Lord. Strengthen them in their body and also in their spirit, that they will be strengthened in their faith every day as they give thanks to you, O God. We thank you for our country. We pray for our president, leaders of our governments in many states and cities. We pray for your guidance and the wisdom that they make decisions that will bring unity, peace, and prosperity to our country and also to the world. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others, grocery clerks, trash workers, and construction workers, and farmers, and many, many people who work behind the scenes that we enjoy our life every day because of them, O God. Bless them, Lord, and bless their families. Keep them safe, O God, under your protection. We pray for world peace also. When the world leaders make decisions, that they will fear God and bring their decisions will bring peace to this world. We thank you for our church here that you have been blessing us with your presence in this community, even though in a small way, that you have given us the opportunities. Help us, Lord, to be your witnesses, faithfully doing your work with the opportunities that you have given us, Lord. We especially also pray for the Hispanic ministry, the ministry that they are doing also and helping our church in many different ways. Bless us together, Lord, as we reach out to this community to spread your love. We pray for all the churches in this area, pastors, ministers, leaders, missionaries, and many, many ways that they are reaching out to this area. Bless them in their work. We pray for the world church at large, missionaries, and many others in various parts working for your kingdom. Strengthen them with your spirit, O God, and empower them that the message of your love will reach out to the many, many areas and many corners of the world. Lord, we pray that you be with us today, Lord, as we worship you together. Lord, help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. With all the saints in this world and angels in heaven, we adore you. Open our hearts to your word, O Lord, as Reverend Tim speaks to us, Lord. Speak to each of us according to our needs through your spirit. And we thank you for his ministry among us, O Lord, and the blessing that you give us through him. Also, we pray for Kenny. Bless him also with his ministry, whatever he is doing in his daily life. And strengthen us as a body of Christ. Together, we can accomplish your will in this world, O God. We thank you again for your presence in our midst today. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed as we pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please.
God from Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day and for us to be able to gather here together. And we pray that you bless this offering to your use and us to thy service, and keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 14. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Thank you, Lisa, for reading that passage. I know it was rather lengthy, and there is a lot in there, and more than we could ever cover in one study. But I want to, with God's help today, just really focus on the main thrust of this passage, the main movement of it. And I hope you will agree with me that it is a passage that is absolutely full of grace. There's a phrase in this passage that I love as I pull out my notes so I have it in kind of big font that I can see here as I refer back to it. There is a phrase in the very beginning of this passage in verse 3 that speaks so much of God's grace to us. And that phrase is this: what the law could not do, God did. What the law was unable to do because of our weakness, because of our flesh, God did. And if you look at this passage in detail, what we will see is, as Paul goes through his argument here, really there are two things that the law could not do for us. The first of these is that the law could not pardon our guilt. Of course, you know what Paul is referring to here in the text when he talks about the law. He is speaking of the law of God, you know, not the civil law or the law of government that is around us, but the moral law of God. Now, if we look at the Old Testament, we see that the Old Testament is absolutely filled with God's law, God's commandments to us. Those commandments, however, they cannot make us pure. They cannot make us not guilty. They can only show us what the law of God demands. There's a metric that has been used a lot in studying the Old Testament, just to give you an idea of how pervasive the law and the commandments are in the Old Testament. The metric goes like this. This is a very reliable one that goes back to the 3rd century, that in the totality of the Old Testament, Moses gave 365 commandments that were negative. 365. In other words, don't do this. And then in addition to that, He gave 248 positive commands about what we were supposed to do. So if you add all those commandments up, the Old Testament gives us plenty of things that we are supposed to do and not do. Most of the time, if I were to say to you, what is the Old Testament law? Many of us would probably go back to the Ten Commandments. You know, those 10 words that Moses spoke on Sinai. But this metric tells us that there's much more to the law than that. The law, when you think about it in that light, is kind of overwhelming, isn't it? Do you feel overwhelmed by the law sometime? The law of God?
Yes.
We are supposed to.
Tax.
Yeah.
IRS.
But the law of God itself, isn't it sometimes overwhelming when we look at the law of God and we see the obligations, the claim that God puts upon us? It does a work in us to make us see how much we are not like God. That's the purpose of the law. In fact, that's one of the main things that the law can do. It shows us how we do not measure up. It shows us how we are not like God. If you think of the Ten Commandments, that's one way to summarize the law, but Jesus gave us even another way. You remember when he was asked one day, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Do you remember his response? What was his response? "The love of the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself." Now, if you take that law in, if you meditate on that law for a moment, doesn't it show me how far I am from God in my natural state? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, your neighbor as yourself. How are you doing with that? How am I doing with that? You see, the law can show us who we are, but it cannot take away the guilt of who we are not. And that's where we find such grace in this passage, because Paul says, listen, what the law could not do, God did. God did. The law can't take away our guilt, and the law can't change us. But God has done these things and is doing these things through his work. You know, there's an old saying, and in fact, since I've been able to preach here several times, I may have said this to you before. Forgive me if I have, but it's just such a good depiction of what the law cannot do. The old saying is this: when we look at the law, it shows us who we are. It's like looking at a mirror. It shows us who we are, but it cannot change us. The grace of this passage is that what the law could not do, God did. Suggest to you that there are two things. This is really the whole point of the sermon this morning, rests on these two things. Two things that the law cannot do, and two things that God did for us in response to them. First of all, as I said, the law, it cannot take away our guilt, and it cannot change us. But what did God do in response to that? God came toward us. God sent his son, first of all, in verse 3. If you look at verse 3 back in the text here, it says, "For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh." What Paul is teaching us in verse 3 there is so vitally important for us to understand this morning and for us to believe that when God saw our weakness, when God saw our inability, what he did was he came toward us. He sent his son to us in the likeness of sinful flesh. You see, it's so important that we understand that when God became man, when Jesus was incarnated, that he truly became human. God in Christ took on humanity. And when Jesus walked this earth, he was fully God and fully man. He was like us in every way. He truly became one of us. He was like us in every way except for one. Anybody want to take a guess at what was one thing about Jesus that was not like us? He did not sin, right? Remember, the writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. So Paul is very careful in his language here. He says what God has done for us, what the law could not do, God did, first of all, by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came in a body. He took on humanity, but he had no sin of his own. Why? Because as Paul tells us in verse 3, so that he could become our sin offering. When Jesus died upon that cross, when he suffered in our place, the sin that he was taking was all ours. And he took upon himself in that act of passion, in that act of love, he took upon himself our sin and our condemnation. So that Paul could say in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that glorious news? That if you are in Christ, if you've turned from your sin, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation awaiting you. Because Christ has taken that condemnation. He has absorbed it. He has, that the justice of God has been executed upon Christ. The condemnation that is due humanity for our sin has been executed upon him. Therefore, there is no condemnation for us this day. The guilt of our sin has been taken away. What the law could not do, it could not take away that guilt, God has done. But there's a second thing, and this is where I want to spend the remainder of our time this morning. There's a second thing that God did, and I want to spend a little more time on this because Paul spends a lot of his time on this. God not only sent his son, he sent his spirit. He sent his spirit, and there's a very plain reason for that in verse 4. He sent his spirit so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Paul gives us in this text, dear ones, a very complete gospel this morning. And that gospel does not just consist in the declaration of our forgiveness. It goes much deeper than that. What Paul is saying to us today is that God does more than forgive. God actually imparts his spirit to us so that we are changed, so that the very essence of the law becomes part of who we are on the inside. And we are enabled by the Spirit to walk in the way of Jesus. That's a huge claim, isn't it? Look at verse 4. That's huge.
Yeah. Yes.
That the law of God Not perfectly. Please don't misunderstand. This is not about sinless perfection or anything like that. But what Paul is saying here is that God's grace is so deep that he doesn't just stop at forgiveness. He actually calls us and imparts to us his own spirit so that we might walk in his ways. He sent not just the Son, he sent the Spirit. The Bible teaches, you see, that when we come to Christ and when we are born of the Spirit, God internalizes the law to us. One of the summaries of the coming covenant in the Old Testament is in Ezekiel. I'm sure you've heard this prophecy from Ezekiel. God says to his wayward children in captivity that one day I'm going to bring you back. And even beyond that, one day I'm going to give you a new covenant. And in that new covenant, he says, I will write my laws upon your heart, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Such is the promise of the gospel. You know, sometimes I feel like that's the second part of the gospel we never preach. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's beyond forgiveness. That God actually promises an internal transformation to us. Let me try to illustrate this. This is a silly illustration, I know, but it at least puts it in concrete terms for me. I have a study in my house where I go usually to prepare for my sermons. And when I walk down a little hallway to this sermon, I'm about to read about the Word of God and study how to live out the Word of God. On the wall on my right side is a plaque of the Ten Commandments. And we've had that plaque we've had that plaque in our family since we were back in the late 70s, I think, when Jenny and I first got together. And there's no telling how many times a day sometimes I walk past that plaque of the Ten Commandments. And you know, it's staring me in the face. This is who God is, and this is who God calls me to be. He calls me to worship no one but him. He calls me to not take his name or bear his name in vain, which actually is more than just how we talk. It's how we live. How do we bear the name of God? Don't bear the name of God. Don't violate your neighbor. Don't lie, honor your father and mother, all these commandments. I know there's only 10 of them, but when I look up at those commandments, they're overwhelming to me. And those commandments are there. If you have a copy of the Ten Commandments in your house, visualize yourself standing before those Ten Commandments. Those commandments on our own, dear friends, they are out, they are completely outside of us. But what the work of the Holy Spirit is to take those commandments and to write them on our heart. They are to bring the law, the essence of the law, which is love. To love God and to love neighbor. The work of the Spirit is to bring those commandments and write them right here.
Amen. Amen.
Right in the very center of our heart. Again, what the law cannot do, God did and God does. The law can't transform us. The law can't come into us as a power and change us, but God can, and God does.
Amen. Yes. Yes, yes.
How does he do that? How does God write the law on our hearts? This is so important to see this with God's help. How does he internalize the law? He comes in himself. Just as the Ten Commandments are external to us, they're outside of us. Until we know Christ, until we walk with him, until we fully trust him and depend upon him totally, that standard is outside of us. But when the Holy Spirit comes, when we are born of the Spirit, Christ writes those laws in us internally by coming in himself, by imparting himself to us. That's the very essence of what it means to walk with Jesus and to be holy. It's not to obey some laws that are outside of us. It is to submit to and surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit within us. What Paul is saying here is so radical. And take heart, my friends. We're almost finished, okay? I'm right at the end here, but I want you to try to stay with this thought here because it is so powerful. What Paul is saying is something that is very radical. He says in this language, and I won't go back through it, but when you read verses 5 down through verse 12, you hear this flesh and spirit over and over again, don't you? This contrast, the word flesh and spirit. And Paul is reminding the Christians at Rome, listen, this is how you live the Christian life. You live it according to the Spirit. You live it by the Spirit. It's only the mind that is set on the Spirit that knows life and peace. What Paul is trying to teach the Christians at Rome and the Christians at Piedmont is that we cannot live out the Christian life in our own power.
Amen.
You know, sometimes, and I think this was a struggle in my Christian life for so many years, even though I was raised in a good church and taught by a godly pastor, I looked at the Christian life as my own project to imitate Christ. Now, we are to imitate Christ, right? Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But we are not to imitate Christ in our own strength. Rather, what Paul speaks of here is something much more powerful than that. That Christ imparts himself to us. In other words, listen, the one who wrote the law comes to dwell within us. And until we really embrace that, I think we will never know the power of the indwelling Christ within us. You see, if you try to live the Christian life on your own power and in your own strength, dear ones, I'm not a prophet, but I can guarantee you this. If you're trying to live it, if you're trying to do it on your own, you're failing.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Because it is not about imitation in our own strength. It is about impartation. It is about Christ coming to live within us. That's what this passage is saturated with, that language. Paul says in verse 9 that the Spirit of God lives in you. Paul says in verse 10 that Christ is in you. Paul says in verse 11, his Spirit lives within you. I can sense the struggle of the preacher. Can't you, Matthew? Can't you?
Yes.
Pastor Luke? Paul is saying the same thing over and over again. He wants to get it through to the Christians at Rome. Listen, what God has come to do is to live within you. He's come to impart himself to you. The one who wrote the law comes to live the law through you. The essence of the law. That is absolutely in my humble opinion, and I can say this because I failed so much in this, That is the key to true holiness. It is this breathing in of the Spirit of God so that He lives it out through us. You see, the power is not in us. That's why Paul says we're debtors to the Spirit. We have an obligation to the Spirit. We have an obligation to reorient our thinking, to walk in the way of Jesus by the power of Jesus and by the presence of Jesus. It is not that the power is in us in any way. The power is in Christ in us. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, I pray today that in spite of me, that the good news, the depth of the gospel would be heard today in some way by us today, that we have not been called to do this on our own. We have been claimed by you and called to receive continuously your life-giving Spirit to enable us to walk in your ways because you have come to live within us. We're going to sing a closing hymn here in a minute, the hymn of invitation, Breathe On Me, Breath of God. And I want to truly invite you this morning, not just to sing the song, but I want to invite you to open your heart up to Him today, to ask Him either through the words of this song or through your own prayer, however God calls you, to ask God to breathe His life into you afresh, to give you the insight to give up on your own strength that you may embrace His through His present, abiding, indwelling Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Tim, for that beautiful message. What a blessing it is. Closing hymn is Breathe On Me, Breath of God. Let me bring that up on the screen. Thank you.
As our benediction and closing prayer today, I want to just leave you with this one image that is a beautiful reflection of that song, Breathe On Me, Breath of God. And toward the end of John's gospel, you may remember that Jesus sends his disciples out into the world. And that's where we're about to go, right, as his disciples. And he says to his disciples, he says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And then he did something very unusual. John says he breathed on them. Mm-hmm. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. We are charged now. We're called to go out into this world in and under the mission of God. But we are not called to go out in our own strength. We are called to go in his power. So may we go from this place knowing the life-giving breath of God. In his name, amen.
Amen.